Wisdom is going to read God's word to us. Thank you.
So I'm going to read from Psalm 139, so verses 1 through to 18. And obviously you can follow on the screens as well and search God yourself while we read this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Thanks very much, Wisdom. I'm going to say that if you'd like to, I don't know if you've got a Bible app or something like that, do you want to bring Psalm 139 up? And if you haven't and would like to, we've got a number of Bibles here. It would be quite helpful to follow through with this. So if you'd like a Bible, do you want to put your hand up? We can just make sure that they're brought round. Should we pass them out? Take a few from here. There you go. Cheers. Anybody else like one? We all okay? Right. So just whilst we're doing it, so who here has ever played hide and seek? Yeah, I think it's probably everyone at some point. Right, so the next question is, where is the weirdest place that you've ever hidden? Just share that with somebody around you. Where is the oddest place that you have hidden? You could include somewhere else as hidden if you found them. Okay, so let's start this off simply. Who's ever hidden under a table? Isn't it funny how small kids always tend to hide in very obvious places? And so, you know, sometimes Alice can be hiding she's not hiding. She'll just be standing somewhere, you know, very obvious. And I'll have to say, where is Alice? And anyone ever hidden in a cupboard under the stairs? Yeah. Okay, let's go for some of the weirder ones. Shout out some of the odd potato plants. Yeah. Now that is unusual. Were they big? So they completely hid you. Fantastic. Any other places? Trees. Trees are good. Mary?
Outside.
Outside? Oh, really? How long did you manage to hide there for?
Not long.
Not long. Someone needed to have used it. Yeah. Any others? So there are lots of different places we can hide, but I don't know about you, that there are a few times where I've really wanted to be able to hide in life, just wanted to sort of disappear, usually at times when I've been embarrassed by something. And before you ask, no, not as a result of drinking too much. But as I thought about this, I realized that actually the times when I've wanted to hide have been times when I felt most vulnerable. Do you ever feel that way? That there are times when you feel vulnerable and want to just be able to hide away? Maybe times of significant change, when we've lost a loved one, where we've moved somewhere that we've gone to that's been unfamiliar. When we're sad about something, or we've said or done something that we regret. Maybe if we felt threatened. So, for example, COVID. I think probably it's fair to say many of us felt that we wanted to hide away during that time. But also, we were encouraged to want to hide away at that time, weren't we, as well? Maybe if we've been badly treated by someone or in danger. So Psalm 139 is often heard in funerals. And I think it makes sense, doesn't it? Because it's at those low times when we're encouraged that God is with us. It gives us so many ways and reasons to hope. It's a psalm by King David, taken from the fifth section of Psalms, and it starts, and that section starts with reflection on how God rescues in times of need. If you take a look back to Psalm 137 for a second, if you've got a Bible or app, we see a psalm about the pain of exile. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. And then if we go to Psalm 138, there's a song of thanksgiving and praise, which ends with, and if you take a look at verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. David takes great joy in knowing that God will be his strength. We read in Genesis at the start of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Formless and empty, he fashioned each star and put it into place. The God who formed the universe out of nothing would later also rescue his people. The Lord isn't distant or aloof or detached, but involved in every facet of our lives. He's not some higher power playing a predetermined game where we're pawns, pieces that God, the mover, merely directs. God loves his creation and takes more than just a passing interest in our lives. His love goes on forever. He is love itself. We read, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. From 1 John 4:16. Then in Psalm 139, David begins to grasp the extent of God's involvement in our lives. To use the word involvement doesn't really do it justice, because this psalm is deeply personal. It's a song that tells us loads about how amazing God is. What the psalmist says can be summarized into three alls. God knows all, he is always with us, and he is all-powerful. God knows all, he's always with us, and he is all-powerful. So firstly, God knows everything about us, he's all-knowing. Take a look at verse 1. He knows what we do. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and rise. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. He knows what we think. Verse 2, you perceive my thoughts from afar. He knows what we're going to say. Verse 4, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. His knowledge is unending. Verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Secondly, the Lord is always with us. He's always present. Verse 7, we read that he is in heaven. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And also, as creator of the universe, in the place of the dead, if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Now, what the Old Testament shows, as creator of the universe, God has the ability to access the place of the dead. There is a difference between banishment, which removes someone from God's blessing. And in fact, that happens as a result of somebody removing themselves from God's blessing, from the fact that maybe they decide not to follow Jesus. As somebody previously asked me, if somebody who had died before having an opportunity to come to know Jesus would therefore be banished. I believe God is love, and therefore I believe that if somebody hasn't had the opportunity to make that choice, that God is compassionate, and that person will be with Jesus in heaven. But we read that he is in the furthest reaches. If we look at verse 9, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Even the darkness isn't dark to God. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. And thirdly, God is all-powerful. He creates and forms us in our mother's wombs. Verse 13, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And my frame, verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. I was woven together in the depths of the earth. I don't think there's a more personal place than being knit together and God being with us at that point. He put us together before even our parents knew us. Now for some, that idea of a personal relationship with God might be really difficult, especially when we use the word of Father to describe God. And God is the perfect Father. And we may have had all sorts of different experiences with our fathers on earth. And so therefore, for some, the idea of Father may not even be known. I read one example of somebody speaking about actually not knowing when somebody referred to God as Father, not being able to do that because they didn't have an idea about what a father was. When someone even described what a father was, because they'd not had that experience, it was really hard to think of it in a positive way. But if we read what God speaks about of his who he is, we then get to see what real love is of our perfect Father. He knows each day of our lives before we've made one single free will choice. That's just amazing, isn't it? God knows every single thing I am ever going to do. And I'm sure he just, when he created the universe, that he had every single day in mind. We can't comprehend how amazing that is, can we? How big God is to be able to know every single day, every single free will choice, that every single thing that God has created, every being that God has created, animals, all creatures that he has created will ever think and do. That is how big our Creator is. And yet, he knit us together in our mother's wombs. Take a look at verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And in all this, his power is perfect, pure, and holy. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The fearfully bit doesn't mean to fear God, although healthy fear of God is actually a good thing because it helps us to stay in good relationship with him, but that we're made in the presence of God. The making of life is a holy process, and we are to witness God's power as part of his creation. Paul wrote to the Romans, he said this, "Ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things that he has made." Seen through his creation. Have you ever looked at a flower, a mountain, a baby, and been all choked up and lost for words? Anyone had that? It's not just because it looks good or is related to you. It's because that creation reflects the loving power of our Creator and his endless creativity. It would be easy to think that a holy hallmark on life is about the structure or our frame or what we look like. But don't forget that since God knows all the days of our lives, he also knows the gifts and the talents that he's given you as well as your character. So what holy hallmark from God do you see on your life? Have a think about that for one moment. What holy hallmark from God do you see on your life? Maybe a gift. Maybe you're good at saying the right thing just at the right time to somebody. Maybe you feel really compassionate about something. Maybe you're good at playing an instrument or some other gift. The thing is, God has given us those gifts. It's so easy for us to shy away from them and to think, oh, you know, I can't say that I'm good at this because that will come across as being boastful. But the thing is that we want to also give thanks to God for the gifts that he's given us and use them to his glory. And if we hide them away, then we'll never be able to glorify God even further. So I'd encourage you to recognize that holy hallmark on your life and to use it in a way that you feel God's calling you to. Genesis 1:27 tells us, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created the male and female, he created them." You are created in God's image. And that means that God will grow a God-like character within you if you stay close to Jesus. Because if we accepted Jesus into our lives, his Holy Spirit will come into our lives, and therefore, as that happens, he will grow in us those gifts of love, joy, peace, faithfulness. Do you know what? As many times as I sing that song, I still can't remember them in the order.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Thank you very much, John. All of those. Is God's Spirit at work in your life? If not at the moment, if you don't think he is, maybe he is. Maybe you just haven't said, "Lord, please be active in my life. I need you. I can't do things on my own." He won't impress himself on us. He wants to be invited. See, the Lord loves you to bits. He is with you always, as you are, with all your gifts and all your faults. We are works in progress. And it encourages me at those times when I'm weakest, when I recognize faults in my life, to know that God still loves me, even though he wants to change me more into Jesus' likeness. We don't need to impress God, but seek to become who we are created to be, loved children of God, human beings with God. Not human doings, human beings. That may be hard because in life, The world teaches us that we need to impress the world and others. But let's be aware of those times when we seek affirmation from those things. It's understandable. We fear what people think as they watch us. Appraisals are probably one of the worst things for putting us on edge and feeling that we need to seek approval from people. Will we continue in our jobs? Will we continue doing what we're doing if we can't impress our boss? You see, the thing is that those people that we seek affirmation from, unlike God, deep down, we know we can never do enough to impress them. The world will never be completely satisfied because it refuses to embrace its creator. There's simply a God hole in the hearts of every human being that's yet to know Jesus. Can we take a look at this very short video? It's very short. You might need to turn it up a bit because it's quite quiet as well. I love you.
You complete me.
So that's it. You complete me. A clip from the Tom Cruise movie. I've never shown a bit of a Tom Cruise movie before, but from Jerry Maguire. Don't know if you watched it. But the thing is, the truth is that only God can complete us. Do we say to God, you complete me? Because until that God-shaped hole is filled in all of us, we will always expect other people and other things to fill that hole. It's a space that can never be completed other than by our Creator. And with God in our lives, we can feel that completeness and peace, but it's important to remember to look to Him for affirmation in life. To use an example that I read once in a book, if you were on stage and God was in the audience and the only one in the audience, in all circumstances in life, he'd be the one cheering you on with tears in his eyes. Tears of joy. See, we don't need to look for affirmation from any other than life, other than from God. And that's something that as a father, I'm desperate for my children to know as well. And it's something that is so important for the reasons that we spoke about before, about the internet and how it tells us that we need to have and build this false ideology around who we are, when what we should be building things around is whose we are. We are God's children. You and I don't need to hide from God. You can't hide from God. God's with you in all life's ups and downs. He will be with you and he knows you even better than you know yourself. So get used to it. And be encouraged and trust God in all things in life. Shall we pray? I wonder if there are things that maybe in that era of affirmation seeking to be affirmed in things that we've looked to others rather than God. It might be good just to quietly name them to God. Lord, you are our creator. You created us to be with you. And you want to be with us. Help us to look to you. To at all times see you as being the one that's there cheering us on. Help us, Lord, at times when we step away or move away from you, to know your presence with us, gently guiding us back onto the path that you call us to. And Lord, we pray that in that area of holy hallmarks, that you would help us to recognize those aspects and areas of our lives, whereas your creation, we not only reflect your character, but also through the giftings you've given us, that we would be able to firstly recognize them, and after recognizing them, to use them to your glory. Just for one moment, listen to what the Lord might have to say to you. It may be that some here just need to hear that in the same words that God spoke to Jesus as he was called into service, formerly by the Holy Spirit coming upon him in his baptism, Jesus was told, "You are my son with whom I am well pleased." And you may need to hear that today. "You are my loved child, with you I am well pleased." If you've accepted Jesus into your life, then know how much the Lord loves you. And then be assured by these words from Scripture as well. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And called as you are, I pray that the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would remain with you always. Amen.